Blog Talk Radio.
Siri, play Amy Grant. Hallelujah.
Hey Siri. Play Amy Grant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we can worship him today. You can worship him wherever you are right now, whether on the job, at home, wherever you may be right now. Oh, just praise the Lord just a little bit longer. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, Elham Kama Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the rest, save the son of Abraham. Through the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. Through the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really is. I am life, let your children be. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elohim Adonai, age to age, you're still the same, by the power of the name, El Shaddai, Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. People couldn't see what Messiah ought to be. Though your word contained a plan, if you could not understand, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elohim Adonai, age to age, you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elohim Adonai, I will praise you till I die, El Shaddai.
Get out your notebook, which is your composition notebook, so you can write down scriptures.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Whatever God's going to drop in your spirit at the time that you want to remember. Because sometimes he drops something in there. If you don't write it down right there, sometimes you'll forget. Hallelujah. Get your ink pens, your highlighters, your pencils. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whatever you want to use to write down, and then, hallelujah, get your communion elements. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going to use for communion element, your communion. Hallelujah. Get your toast, your bread, your crackers, your juice, your water, whatever you're going to use. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And just as a reminder, hallelujah, when you have a chance, go to rymmi.org and look at the ministry. Hallelujah. Look at some of the things that the ministry has done and is doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And put on your calendar for next month, the second Friday of next month, the Men's and Women's Fellowship. It's always the second Friday of the month, 7 o'clock until 8:30. The Men's Fellowship is from 7 to 7:40, and then the Women's Fellowship is from 7:50 until 8:30. Hallelujah. And don't be surprised, we may be calling you to be one of our guests. Hallelujah. We talk about various things on there. Everything that edifies the Lord and his word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And set your alarms for 7 o'clock in the morning.
Hallelujah.
Or put it a few minutes to 7 so that 7 o'clock you'll be woken. You already have your Bible and your scriptures ready just in case you want to share a scripture with us or a prayer with us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have a good time in the Lord. Start your day off with a bang. We start the day off in prayer every morning. And we invite you to join us.
Hallelujah.
No pressure. Hallelujah. You can just dial in and listen. Just or come in and join in with prayer or give us your favorite scripture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bishop.
Praise God. God bless you all. Of course, if you want to know the number that you call for our morning worship at 7 a.m., it's 605-475-4800. Again, that number is 605-475-4800. And the access code is 759-849-POUND. God bless you all.
Hallelujah.
And I know you're getting ready. See, we're getting ready to place some the names of people we love and we care about up into the atmosphere of blessings.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So praise God. Yes. Get the names ready. Because when the praises go up,
the blessings come down.
Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise God today. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. So as we play a selection in the background, just begin to speak out the names of folk you know.
Amen.
They got their backs up against the wall. They're looking for a way up and a way out. They're looking to be healed, delivered, and set free. Just put their names up into the atmosphere of blessings. Hallelujah. Because signs and wonders follow.
Praise
and miracles follow. What else you can hear the worship?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name today, oh God.
Thank you.
We glorify your name, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And help us to be proud. In the time when we don't
know,
let us be afraid.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Apostle Margie Mercer, hallelujah. Chief Apostle Mary Osborne, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Archbishop Marcia Angel, Archbishop Kerry Robinson, hallelujah. Apostle Bryce Smith, Our Lady Linda Smith, hallelujah. Sister Sandra Horn, sister, hallelujah. Elder Larry Horn, Elder Renola Carr, Elder Cuban Stevens, Justin and Dominique, hallelujah. And Earl and another Earl and still another Earl and another Earl, hallelujah. And Tavon, another Tavon, another Tavon, and another Tavon, and Travion, and Juliet, and David, and Andrea. Hallelujah, glory to God. Angela Jennings Hill, hallelujah, glory to God. Orly Bird, hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, bless the Lord. Tony and Vicky Bird, Sam Wright, hallelujah, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor Jason Roosevelt, Shereen Roosevelt, Pastor Tom Sprint, First Lady Roslyn Sprint, hallelujah, glory to God, glory to God, Sister Carissa Johnson, Loretta Johnson, James Johnson, hallelujah, Sean and Warren Johnson, hallelujah, Janetta McCoy, Byron McCoy Senior Jr., Raymond McCoy Senior Jr., hallelujah. Norman Nevis, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, bless you. Kimberly. Tiny, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jeffrey and Maria and Tanya and Calvin and Robin and Cam and Bob. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elder Lester, Deacon Dale, Minister James, Apostle Dustin Harper, hallelujah. First Lady Sharon Harper, Dr. Sharon Harper, hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless all of you today. Hallelujah. Let the church say amen. Oh, let the church say amen again.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Peter.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our guest has arrived. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God.
Glory to God.
Thank the Lord.
Our
guest speaker has arrived. Give the Lord a hand clap right now. Oh, come on. Somebody can do a little bit better than that. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah for the ministry gift that has arrived. Hallelujah. Thank God for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want you to know glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord again.
Jesus is Lord.
All right, Pastor Peter.
Hallelujah.
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 See, we have a thing now that a lot of people will tell you praise the Lord. But you don't know what Lord they're serving.
Amen, amen.
And we don't want to co-sign to the devil. Is that right?
Amen, amen.
We don't want to co-sign to somebody who's following hallelujah, the Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius and Toe and Feet or whatever, they worshiping according to God. So the way that we can put the hammer on the nail is to reply to him, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, is Sister Anjanette here? Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're going to have to take somebody up because the first thing we do on fourth Sunday, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have our birthday corner.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say hello.
Hello.
Birthday. See, some of us got one birthday. Some of us got two birthdays.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a what?
New Jesus.
All things are passed away, and the whole things are new. You got another birthday. Now, we do this, the birthday corner. I got to get myself ready. Let's see. Where is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I got Pastor Peaches. Can you talk for a second so I can get the birthday?
Hallelujah.
A song.
Hallelujah. All right. For everyone who has a birthday in the month of, what month are we in? The month of March? Raise your hand if there is anybody in here that has a birthday in the month of March. Okay. Anybody get saved in the month of March? Okay. Well, I think, we're batting it down. Well, we thank God for Jesus. We thank God for you being here. Hallelujah. We thank God for traveling mercies. We thank God for even having a chance to worship with saints of God that I haven't even worshiped with in a while. Hallelujah. Thank God for bringing you here. Hallelujah. And there's a song that we would play for the birthday people.
Not just a birthday, but God's grace and mercy in your life. All those that have a birthday in the month of March, I want you to just stand up.
Hallelujah.
Can you stand up?
Birthday,
I'm sorry. I must enunciate. Birthday. All right. And they're standing. I know the orgy bird, she's not here, but she has a birthday. I think it's tomorrow. But this is for you.
Hallelujah.
Now I want you to come out of your seat, march around just a little bit, walk because God's been good to you. Is that right?
Amen.
Did you wake up this morning?
Amen.
Come on now. Let's celebrate. Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Walk out here.
Hallelujah.
Walk out.
Hallelujah.
Walk out from your seat. Twirl a couple of times. Hallelujah. No March birthday?
No March birthday.
Oh, no March birthday. Hallelujah. Now, somebody stand up for the March birthday. Anybody? Okay, somebody. Okay, March for the March birthday.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know somebody that has a March birthday. Celebrate for them because God has been good to them. Are they still on this side of the earth? Oh, you better praise God for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to
you. I wish I could sing. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. I just never understood how men who got the good.
Hallelujah.
Could not have a day that would.
Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, y'all check it. Glory
to
God.
Hallelujah. Oh, we bless the name of the Lord. We're so happy to have all of you here today.
Amen, amen.
And we thank God. We're praying for those that did not make it today or have not come so far. We pray that God's grace and mercy is upon them. They come from a little ways, and we trust that the Lord is blessing them right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. At this time,
hallelujah,
it's time for Holy Communion.
Oh, yes.
And see, it's not a ritual. See, we don't save it for the last part of a service.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's the first part of the service.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's what we do to understand,
hallelujah,
what Christ has done for us.
Thank you, Father.
Everybody got a Bible up in here today?
Hallelujah.
If somebody doesn't have a Bible, there's a free table outside, got Bibles on it. You can take it and keep it, okay?
Hallelujah.
Anybody need a Bible?
Hallelujah.
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 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Verse 23 to 30.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And see, I got to break something down to you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
I got you.
Thank
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You see, this meal is the meal that heals. It's the meal that gives life, preserves life, revives life. It's a confirmation meal. Genesis 2 and 3 gave the promises to Abram, a.k.a. Abraham. But in chapter 14, verse 18 and 19, the priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek, brought bread and wine and declared Abram to be a man of God. This meal is declaring that you are a man or a woman of God. And not only that, the priest of God declared the blessings upon Abram. This is a confirmation meal that the blessings of Almighty God are bestowed upon you. Yes, you. But I was born on the other side of the track. I was born under the track. It don't matter. The blessings of the Lord are being bestowed upon you through this meal. This is a confirmation meal. In the Old Testament, it talked about the Ark of the Covenant. The very manifestation of the presence of the Lord on the earth. And things happened when folk got near the Ark of the Covenant.
Amen.
And they weren't right.
Amen.
But things did happen to folk who were right. They got blessed. Things happened in such a magnificent way. But that was pre-cross. Post-cross is that the presence of the Lord is in who? Me. Say me.
Me.
If you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior,
amen, amen,
it's in you.
Amen.
The presence of the Lord is in you.
Thank
Christ
you.
Is in you.
Yes.
Guess what? I got rhema for you. You are the Ark of the Covenant today.
Thank you.
When you go places, you step in the room, the blessings of the Lord go with you. And there's collateral blessings to those who receive you.
Thank you, Father.
There's collateral damage to those who don't.
Mm.
I want you to receive this so you can understand what you're doing here.
Thank you,
you remember Moses went up to the mountain to see the sight. And when he got there, the presence of the Lord was there. Spoke out of the burning bush and said, take off your shoes. For the ground you're standing on is holy ground. But it is a bush. Pre-cross.
Mm-hmm.
first cross. God's in you. You're not standing on holy ground. You are holy ground. That's why folk, we walk in a room and folk take a second glimpse because there's a glow about you.
Mm-hmm.
There's something different about you.
Mm-hmm.
They can't put their fingers on it. This is a confirmation of me, oh, that not only are you the Ark of the Covenant, you are holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
Receive
you.
It. The word of the Lord says in this text, examine yourselves. Good. So every time we heard communion, since we were little children, we thought, well, I got to get myself together. I got to make sure I'm right. And that's good. Go ahead and do it. And so we thank God for his covenant name. To me, the number one covenant name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Lord, hallelujah. You are our righteousness and our forgiveness of sin. And Father God, we repent of anything that we said, done, or even thought that was displeasing in your sight. Please forgive us of every sin of omission and commission as we forgive everyone or everything they've ever done to us, whether real or imagined. We forgive ourselves. We hold no grudges, no resentment, no guilt. Thank you, Jesus. In the text, again, it says, examine yourself. Now, we lift up the holy elements of communion right now. We thank you for them, O God. We ask that you are blessed, anointed, and sanctify in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we comprehend, we fully aware, we do understand what your body and blood has done for us. And we thank you, Lord, for helping us to do that with your word. Isaiah 53:5 says, you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon you, and with your stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24b says, with your stripes we were healed. And if we were healed, we are healed. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to be saying thank you about right now. Hebrews 9:22b says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin.
Hallelujah.
Revelation 1:5 says, you washed our sins with your own blood. Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14, Matthew 26:28 says, we have redemption through your blood. It's through your blood that our sins are forgiven. So we comprehend, we fully aware, we do understand what your body and blood has done for us. We rightfully deserve the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now your word says, that he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to themselves. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Well, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be God the Lord. We're taking communion worthily because we rightfully discern the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're eating and drinking blessings to ourselves, strength to ourselves, healing to ourselves, life to ourselves. Deuteronomy 30:19b says, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life that you and your children shall live. Psalms 118:17 says, you will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Numbers 23:19. God, you said that you're not a man that you should lie, neither the son of man that you should repent. But everything you said, everything you're talking out of your mouth, you shall perform it. Isaiah 55:11, your word will not come back void, but it will accomplish, it will prosper, and which is what said, thank you for your word on today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. On the same night which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, we thank you again, Lord.
You.
He broke it and declared, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks. Oh, my shock. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. We receive your healing already, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Your word says in St. Luke 4:18 and Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, that you want to heal us everywhere we hurt. So we thank you, Lord, for healing every area of our lives, spiritual, emotional, physical, social, and financial healing. We thank you, Lord, for healing every system of our bodies, the alimentary system, the cardiovascular system, the endocrine system, the genital system, integumentary system, the musculoskeletal system, the nervous system, the respiratory system, the urinary system. We thank you, Lord, for healing from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, from inside out and outside in. We thank you, Lord, for supernatural creative miracles right now, all over the world, right now. Cancers dissolving, tumors disappearing, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Total complete healings right now, all over the world. We thank you, Lord, for healing from
the top of our heads to the soles of our
feet. Your word said, Lord, Matthew 15:26 for you. Da, da, da. First John chapter, hallelujah, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Pray on your voice, Shaka. St. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Galatians 3:26 and Psalms 100 says, we are your children and the sheep of your pasture, and healing is the bread of your children. Praise God.
Thank you, God.
We thank you, Lord, for your healing prayer.
Hallelujah.
And likewise, on the same night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took also the cup. And when he had given thanks, let me thank you again, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
He declared,
thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Glory
to
God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
This is the New Testament for you.
Yes,
in my blood. My new inheritance, my new gifts, and I wrote it in my blood. Let's drink together.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we thank you. That the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is already on the doorposts and lintels of our hearts. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is already on the doorposts and lintels of our homes.
Hallelujah.
Exodus chapter 12,
hallelujah,
verse 13 and verse 23. Exodus chapter 13, verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. God, you said, Moshe Kele da 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 Bosha Kada. God, you said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and none of the diseases of Egypt of the world shall overtake you when I see the blood. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you when I see the blood. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already covers our homes, our families, our loved ones, our jobs, our ministries. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already covers our past, present, and future sins, our missteps and mistakes, our faux pas and failures. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, already covers us as we sleep, as we travel in vehicles throughout the land, as we work and pray, as we walk and talk, as we worship and praise, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost in the spirit of Elijah the Tishbite. We thank you that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already decimates, annihilates, eradicates, discombobulates, nullifies, brings to naught, makes to no effect, brings to nil, reverses, eliminates, utterly destroys every curse against us and our families, every spell, every hex, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We call down the fire of heaven on every curse against us and our family,
yes.
Every spell, every hex. Fire, hallelujah. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. Hallelujah. We thank you that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already undoes, unties, severs, cuts, breaks, nullifies, brings to naught, makes to naught effect, brings to nil, reverses, eliminates, decimates, annihilates, eradicates, discombobulates every ungodly soul tie. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, singing glory to his name, precious name. Glory to his name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for hoping. And we remember you, Lord.
Yes.
Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the confirmation meal, because of the bestowing of the blessings upon us, we can speak now for every man, woman, boy, girl, and our family, and our extended family, with the family daily confession, yes. We speak for all of them right now.
Yes.
We speak for those that don't even have sense enough to call on the name of God.
Yes.
We speak for them too, oh
thank
God. We prophetically speak for all of them right now.
Yes.
According to Job 22:28, Romans 4:17, 2 Kings the first chapter, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. We decree and declare that we are mighty men and women of valor, shaped in the image of God, full of integrity and truth, mighty thinkers in Jesus' name, lean, clean, spiritual kingdom machines. We know who we are from God's perspective, and we're not intimidated by anything in this life. We're kingdom citizens. We're fivefold ministry gifts. We're gifts to the ministry of health. We're brilliant, we're awesome, we're amazing, we're intelligent, we're powerful, we're perfect, we're strong, we're mighty, we're great, we're beautiful, in
Jesus'
name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we are the Ark of the Covenant.
Hallelujah.
And we holy ground.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory
hallelujah.
To God.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for your word.
Thank you,
that no weapon formed against
yes,
us shall prosper.
Prosper.
And every tongue that shall rise up against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank
you. We thank God for his word today. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel real good now. Hallelujah. Now, before I go any further, I got to find my cell phone. Where's my cell phone? Where is it?
You see,
oh, okay. I got to get my electronic technical assistant to play.
Hallelujah.
Hey Siri.
Hallelujah.
Play Who's in the House. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is going all over the world.
Yeah.
Who's in the House?
Born to
hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, you can praise him a little bit.
Hallelujah. Act like you don't know who Jesus is.
Come on now. You take him high. You take him long. You take JC wherever you go. Now tell me who. Who? Tell me who's in the house. JC, tell me who's in the house.
Or if you can get on your feet and praise the Lord a little bit, maybe like you at the ball game and somebody hit your home run, that's your home team. Come on, praise the Lord up in here. Hallelujah. In the house today. Apostle Dwight Smith is in the house today. But before he comes, I need someone to get to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. When you get there, say amen. Home folk, y'all out of this. I want somebody from not from the home to find it in their Bibles. Okay. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I want you to stand up, Sister AJ, give them a mic, let them read it, because we're on air. There are 2,000 people all over the world listening to us right now.
Amen.
We're on international radio.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, okay, wait till you get a mic. Hallelujah.
What was the scripture again?
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Hallelujah.
Chapter
3, verse
16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Amen.
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 Brother, come here for a minute, please.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here, bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus is Lord. It sounded like there was a tie. Who said Jesus Lord?
Who said Jesus is Lord?
I know Pastor Peaches. I heard her voice. Who else said Jesus is Lord? Who said that? Trish, give this to that other person. Go ahead. Sister AJ, take this to that the other person that said. And somebody said, praise the Lord. Pastor Peaches.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. We train it, so when somebody should pray the Lord, we will make sure that we talk about the same Lord we talk about. So we say, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Now, hallelujah. I thank God for all of you that come today. And I thank God for even the members that are here.
Amen.
Today. We look for four others that come together. I don't know what happened, but that's okay.
Thank you.
We're here.
Amen.
God's here.
Amen.
Apostle Dwight Smith is here.
Amen.
He brought his folk with him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I thank God. I think we're ready to hear the word. This day, I've known him probably most of his life, if not all of his life. I was a little boy, and I don't know if that's a word, but anyway. I'm old. In other words, I'm trying to tell y'all I'm older than he is.
Whoa.
Not too much older. Okay, well, maybe a little tidbit older. But he's been a man of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And with rich words.
Thank you, Jesus.
Deep
yes,
words.
Yes, yes.
And then he pounds. You know, the Bible says he that finds it for wife finds a good thing and has favor in God.
Yes.
God has placed favor in his life.
Amen.
Because of his wife as well.
Lord,
by his side.
Amen.
Not with a knife in his side, but by his side to be a help.
Thank you, Jesus.
Suitable to him. I thank God for him.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. If you would give a great hand for the God that's in Apostle Dwight Smith as he comes before you.
Hallelujah! Glory! Amen! And God for the way! Thank you, Jesus!
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!
Jesus is Lord! Hallelujah!
I have to myself. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
We thank God for his loving kindness and his multitude of tender mercy.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Bishop, for inviting us to your house and allowing us to stand behind the sacred desk and to minister to these God's people. We are grateful to each and every one of you. I want to thank those of you who are here from Victorious Life Ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We had a wonderful service this morning, a vision service, discussing our vision, and they were a little concerned because we were casual. We had casual day-to-day, so they wanted to make sure that I informed everyone why they are dressed as casually as they are. So I'm informing because I've been told to make sure I do it. But we believe the Lord. Amen. Bishops say that we have been known each other for many of years, but as a matter of fact, we come up under the same pastor, and Bishop James Isaiah Doswell, and we both were actually ordained under Bishop Doswell at the same time. So we've both been in ministry for about the same number of years. Praise God. Bow your heads with me. We're going to get into the word. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity that you've given us to share in the ministry of the gospel. We thank you for the people of God that are here and those that are afar that will be listening to this word, Lord God. We ask that you would take the engrafted seed of the word, sow it into the fertile soil of our hearts, Lord God. Let it cause transformation and change on the inside of us, that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. Holy Spirit, we rely on you because you are our comforter, our counselor, our teacher, and our guide. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take us on a journey through the Word of God, that you would uncover the mystery and the knowledge that surrounds it, that you would expose it to our view and give it to us with such practical application that we can apply it to our lives, going from glory to glory and from grace to grace. So your Word tells us that it does not yet appear what we shall be, but this one thing we do know is that we shall be like you, for we shall see you as you are. So we thank you, Lord God, that we are being metamorphosized, that we are being transformed into the very image of Jesus the Christ. So we thank you for what you're going to do, Lord God, in our lives, even this day, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, sometimes when you consult the Lord as to what he would have you to minister, and the Lord give you instruction, insight, and information as to the word that he wants to give you, wants you to minister, and you get in a group of people and then you're kind of asking the question, why would he have me go this way? You know, you wonder why the Lord would have you to go in a certain direction, even though you know you're going that way, but just for your own curiosity, it's like, Lord, why do you want me to go this way? But God always have a reason for the word that he ministers. And even though we're in the house, we have to also understand that God is ministering far beyond the confinement of these four walls. Amen?
Amen.
So even though it may not look like what's going forth is to you here, it's somebody listening somewhere that God is ministering to.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And so having said that, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And if I was to choose a subject for this message today, it would be a bitter root. A bitter root produces sour fruit. A bitter root produces sour fruit. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it reads, and I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible, it reads, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God." Now, in the book of Revelation, in chapter number 2, God gives a revelation to Jesus, and Jesus gives it to an angel who gives it to his servant John, who writes it in a book and sends it to the seven churches. And of the seven churches, he writes a letter to the church of Ephesus. And in that church of Ephesus, one of the things that the Lord speaks to them saying is, look how far you have fallen. And there's a falling away from grace. And he tells them in their falling to repent and to go back and do their first works and return to their first love.
Yeah.
But I want you to think about this for a moment, because in Hebrews it says that that see to it that no one fall short of the grace of God. So if he's telling you not to fall short of the grace of God, it apparently means that you can fall short. Amen? It means that you can have the grace of God, and we're not referring to grace in the sense of being the unmerited favor. That's one aspect of the grace of God, but we're referring to the grace of God in the sense of his divine enablement, God's divine enablement. That's grace. And what that means is that is the grace of God that enable you, the power of God, the anointing of God, the strength of God that enable you to maintain your relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so there is the possibility of falling short of grace. And so he tells us, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up. So their falling short of the grace of God brings the possibility of bitterness being established. We said a bitter root produces what? Sour fruit. Now, when we're talking about bitterness, we have to understand how this bitterness is established. How is bitterness established? This bitterness is established when a person becomes offended. When a person becomes offended and do not deal with the offense correctly. So all of us, at some point in time, have been offended. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause a person to stumble are bound to come. Let me say it again. Jesus says, there are things that will cause you to stumble, and they are going to come. So what he's saying is there is going to be opportunities when you are offended. And it is how you deal with the offense that determines whether or not you are falling short of the grace and whether or not your root is developed in a form of bitterness.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So when a person is offended and does not deal with the offense correctly, that bitterness often begins to grow in a person and it turns sour.
Yes.
And in turning sour, that becomes that bitter root. And this is what is being talked about here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. It is talking about the word or the root of the word rizo. And it refers to a root such as the root of a tree. Now, why is it referring to the root such as the root of a tree? Because most people aren't aware that normally the growth of a tree is determined above ground by the length of its roots below the ground. So what happens is when we're going through winter seasons and it seems as if the trees are not growing because there are no leaves on the trees are literally growing underground. The roots of the tree is growing, and the length of the root determines how much the tree grows above ground in the spring and summer. All right? So when he's talking about the root, because roots run deep. Roots run deep, and many times the root of a tree establishes itself, and it'll grow around a rock. And and it will lock to that rock, which gives it an ability to sway in the wind. There are times when we see trees that have fallen, and they fall, they're dying, and they die at the root, and so the wind has the ability to uproot them because there is no depth of root.
Yes.
All right? So when he is talking about, Jesus is talking about this root, this tree, and the root of bitterness growing deep into the ground, which enables that root to many times hold on to something. But also what happens is, and we read it in the Psalms, it says something like that, and you shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, and then it says that brings forth its fruit in its season.
Mm-hmm.
And what David was writing about when he was writing that, because in many places in that region, there were trees, and those trees were not, were planted in areas where there was no, when there was no rain, the tree did not produce fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were trees that were planted, and what would happen is the root of the tree would grow underground, and it would grow and find wherever there was water underground. So it would grow towards the rivers of water.
Uh-huh.
And it, as it grew toward that river of water, that water would produce and cause that root to bring life to that tree.
Amen.
All right? But the roots are very what? Deep. The roots are deep. And so what Christ is trying to get us to understand is that the root of bitterness grows very deep. It gets deep into the heart. And it's not something that's easily uprooted. It's not easily uprooted. And so when we are understanding that, when we understand that this root of is caused by an offense that is not dealt with properly.
Mm-hmm.
So someone offends you. How do you deal with it? Do you allow that offense to fester, and every time you see them after that offense, you get an uneasy feeling being around them? You get upset. You think about that thing that they did over and over again. What's happening is that offense is robbing you of the grace of God and is causing you to develop bitterness.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Yes, sir.
So if it's not firmly fixed, how then do you fix the root of bitterness?
Mm-hmm.
You fix it by using the word of God.
Yes.
God is telling us, don't let bitterness grow. So what do? We must repent.
Mm-hmm.
We must repent to remove bitterness. Let's go again back over here to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. I want to read a little bit more of this because I want to help you to understand a few things about this root of bitterness that is being talked about here, and the tree that produces bitter fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and Jesus says to his disciples, things that people that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe unto those, woe unto anyone through whom they come. Woe unto them that causes it to happen. So he's also saying, you should not be the one that causes someone else to be offended and causes bitterness to begin to grow in them. Okay? He says, it is better for them to be thrown into the sea and have a millstone tied about their neck than for them to cause the least of the little ones to stumble.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Okay? So watch yourselves.
Amen.
He says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke them, then, and if they repent, forgive them. So he's saying, that that word rebuking them is actually you informing them. You're letting them know. So you let them know, brother, you offended me. You offended me. And so when you're doing that, it gives them an opportunity to repent. It gives them an opportunity to free themselves, because we read earlier that it's going to come and that it's dangerous. There's a danger for the one who brings it. And so if we are not allowing them to know that we are offended, sometimes how will they know that they offended you? How will they know that they said something in a way that hurt your feelings? You know, it may not be just what they said. It's how they said it that causes the offense. All right? So we have to understand that. Sometimes there are things that occur in our lives that causes us to get upset and get angry with people, but we also have to come to an understanding that we are responsible for keeping our hearts pure.
Yes.
We are responsible for keeping our hearts pure. We say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me.
Yes.
So God creates a clean heart in you. But after he's created that clean heart in you, it's your responsibility to keep that heart pure.
Yes, yes.
Now, we read in the scripture talking about the sycamine tree and the mulberry tree. And many times when we read it in the scripture, the translators have translated it so that sometimes you're reading a scripture and it'll say sycamine in one translation, another translation will say mulberry, and you're kind of thinking that they are the same fruit, but they're actually a different kind of fruit. One fruit is a kind of a sweet fruit. The other fruit is a bitter fruit.
Mm.
And what would happen is in that region, people would purchase fruit, but the ones who ate the bitter fruit were usually the people who were of lesser income, so they couldn't pay for the best kind of fruit, and so they would buy the bitter fruit. But the thing about buying the bitter fruit was they could not sit down and eat that fruit all in one setting.
No.
So they'd eat a little bit, and then they put it aside, they'd eat a little bit more, and put it aside, eating a little bit more. And that's the way the enemy does in establishing bitterness in your heart. When you allow that offense to fester, what happens is a little bit at a time, that bitterness is coming into your heart. And when you're not dealing with it properly, you have a little bit, then you come across that person, and a little bit more bitterness comes in. You see them again, and a little more bitterness comes in, because you're remembering. The enemy will bring back to your remembrance what they did, and you can't stand to be in the room with them. You can't stand to be in their presence. That is because that seed or that root of bitterness is growing in you.
All right, sir.
It's growing in you. Now, it's interesting, too, because in that region, the tree that produced that fruit that produced bitterness, there were certain things that tree itself was used for. One of the things that the wood from that tree was used for, the wood was used to make coffins in order to bury the dead. Bitterness is so that what it does is it kills you on the inside. You become like that coffin, and on the inside of you, your heart has been destroyed by that bitterness. That root has choked you, and now what begins to occur from your life is you begin to produce a bitter fruit. So now what you're
and you treat people that way because of bitterness. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Once this root becomes so deeply in your soul, where is it? It's in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. So that is why you keep remembering it. That is why it keeps affecting the way that you feel.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us realize that when we are around people who have offended us and haven't been dealt with properly, what we do is when we get around them, we start having an uneasy feeling.
All right.
And a lot of times we'll say, I just got this feeling in the pit of my stomach every time I come around them. And that's because the offense has not been dealt with properly. So this root affects your soul. It becomes negative opinions. And so now, not only are you feeling uneasy, but now you have begun to draw negative opinions about that person.
Mm.
How many of you know that many times when we are offended, we then begin to go to the place of assassination?
Amen.
We go to the place of assassination whereby we begin to assassinate their character in the eyes of everybody else.
Amen.
We began to say things like, you know, Lady Linda hurt my feelings. She was just mean and nasty to me, and did she treat you the same way? Every time I try to speak to her, she just throwing her head up, and she act like she's better than everybody else. And what am I doing? I am tarnishing her character in the eyes of someone else. So we move with that bitterness in our heart to becoming an assassin of the character of that person.
Wow. Teacher.
As times pass, not only do we begin to assassinate, but we our thoughts becomes judgmental against them. We're now judging them. Everything they do, we're judging. How many of us, you know, have sit down and we just talk, we think about or talk about the negative things about a person, and in our eyes, we are not destroying them, that we're speaking the truth, so we say. But we are assassinating their character. We're judgmental as to everything they do. Look at them. Why they gotta always be the one up doing something? Why they gotta be in the front? Why they gotta be the person chosen to do everything? That's because an offense has entered our hearts, and many times after that offense begins to develop that bitter fruit, the fruit begins to move, and it's not just to the person that offends you. Now we are offended by everything. Everything offends us. So we become judgmental against them and everything else. The root of bitterness becomes so firmly fixed on the inside of us that it even moves us to a place of anger. I mean, think about it right now. Look at our society right now, and you can see bitterness going throughout our society. We see people are angry for no reason. People are violently going after people. They are condemning and talking against folk and trying to tear down people because of this root of bitterness that has been released in our society.
Thank you,
Jesus. So many times what happens is we become judgmental. Thoughts about a person begin to make sense to you. Negative thoughts. And that's what you begin to share, negative thoughts. When the root of bitterness gets deeply embedded in your mind and in your emotions, it's no longer just a root. It's no longer just a root. Now you're dealing with a mental stronghold. It's a stronghold. A lot of times we hear people talking about pulling down strongholds and high thoughts, and every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And we're thinking about pulling down strongholds like we're going to go out and we're going to pull down the stronghold in this region. But what we fail to understand is that that stronghold is in the mind, it's in the will, it's in the emotion of that person. That stronghold is what the enemy develops on the inside of them to keep them bound so that they cannot advance. And that's why we read that they've fallen what? They've fallen short of the grace of God. So it's no longer just a root. It now becomes a stronghold. So let's look at strongholds, an example of a stronghold. An example of a stronghold would have been something like Jericho. The city of Jericho was what would have been considered a stronghold. Why? Because, number one, the walls of the city were thick enough to have houses built into the walls. History has it that the wall of the city was as wide as a six-lane highway. Whoa. That meant that no invading army could come and take a ramrod or anything and burst through the wall. There were no weak places in the wall. Therefore, it was considered a stronghold. That is why in Jericho, when Israel was marching around the city, the folk on the other side of the wall wasn't concerned, because they knew that that stronghold was impenetrable. So when there's a stronghold, it's almost impossible to penetrate. And so what does the enemy do? He establishes strongholds where? In your mind. In your mind. So now this bitterness has become a stronghold. And it's in your mind. It's something that you have to really deal with. And now what's happening again is, because of this stronghold, all of your fruit, and don't be misled, you are fruitful. Every one of you are fruitful, whether it be good work or bad work. Everything you do is a fruit that causes someone else to either respond gratefully or negatively because of your actions. So when you have a root of bitterness, when this stronghold is in your mind, you try to keep your distance from certain people. The word bitterness refers to an inward attitude that is bitter. So your attitude becomes bitter. It produces frowns on one's face. It produces inward infections. It produces sickness in the body. All because you did not deal with the offense properly. Even as I said, that tree that yields the fruit, the bitter fruit, the inside. And so he does that through bitterness. One of the things about this bitterness is it's not easy. It's not easy once bitterness has been established to get rid of it. When bitterness is there, it produces the fruit, and the kind of fruits are unkindness.
Mm-hmm.
It's sour. It's sharp. You're now being sharp to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
You're scornful.
Mm-hmm.
You're mocking.
Mm-hmm.
All because you have been wounded. And you have allowed that wound to produce bitterness in you. And you have nothing good to say about another person.
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
In fact, when that bitterness is there, you look for the negative in other people. You don't even look for their good. You know, I've heard of situations where people would be going shopping. They would take their friends with them, and they put on the garment, and they say, "How do I look in this?" And even when they look nice in it, because the friend is upset about something, that, "Oh, child, I wouldn't wear that. That don't look good on you." Not because they're telling them the truth, but because they don't want them to be able to show the beauty of their personality through what they're wearing, and they'll try to deter them from getting something, and that's the way bitterness does. It tries to deter, you try to deter the goodness in a person by telling them lies.
Lord Jesus.
Bitterness, sour fruit, offenses. Now, it's interesting because, see, this bitterness can't be dealt with just any kind of way. You can't just come to a person and say, "Pray for me to get rid of this bitterness." Because what happens is bitterness is where? It's in your heart. The bitterness has become a what? It has become a stronghold. Now, again, we have to understand when we're talking about the heart, we're talking the mind, the will, the emotions. We're talking the core of a person's being. For the Bible says it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth will speak. So therefore, if bitterness is in the heart, then everything that is coming out of that mouth becomes that bitter fruit.
Come on now.
So if you can't deal with it easily, how do we deal with it? The first act in dealing with bitterness is repentance.
Yes.
We have to repent. We have to repent because we've allowed that thing to fester and to grow deep down on the inside of us. We have to deal with it. It has to be dealt with. If God's Spirit has been trying to deal with you about negative attitudes, about paying attention to the Holy Spirit, and saying to you about getting along with God, you need to ask him how to put a distance between you and this thing. Because you have to be the one who uproots bitterness.
Yes, yes.
Remember, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he said to them that he says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed.
Yes.
Now, he didn't say if you had faith as small as a mustard seed. And we know he wasn't talking about small faith, because then it wouldn't have been necessary for him to say to the apostles when they were on the ship, "O ye of little faith." So we're not talking just about little faith. We're talking about as a grain of mustard seed. Why as a grain of mustard seed? Because even though a mustard seed was a small seed, it produced a huge tree. It produced a huge tree, and the scripture tells you that it produces a tree where birds nest in the branch, and you're able to go under it and abide under the shade of that tree. So Jesus says that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he said you can say to this sycamine tree. So he's talking to this tree that produces bitter fruit. He say, you can say to the sycamine tree, be uprooted. So in order to get rid of bitterness, you've got to deal with it from the root. You've got to deal with the root of it. And we understand it from the standpoint of weeds. When weeds are in your garden or in your grass, you go out and cut the grass, you don't see the weed for a couple days, but the weed is not gone.
That's right.
Come on now.
You've just removed it at the surface, but the root of it is still in the ground.
Yes.
And as long as the root is there, then the fruit is going to be seen. You're going to see that weed over and over and over again. And that's the way it is with bitterness. If you don't deal with the root of it, it's going to keep coming back. It's going to keep affecting your character. It's going to affect your personality. It's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect the way you deal and associate with other people.
Yes, 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 yes.
So it's got to be dealt with at the root. So Jesus says, you, notice he didn't say, have somebody pray for you. Mm-hmm. He says, if there are any sick among you, go to the elders of the church. And the elders shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But in this case, he says, you shall say.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, this is something you have got to be the one who gets rid of it.
Yes, yes, yes.
You've got to be the one who gets rid of it. And he said, in order to deal with it, you can't cut the tree down. He didn't say, cut the tree down. He said, you could say to this sycamine tree, be uprooted. Why? Because you've got to deal with the bitterness from the root. You've got to deal with it from the root. And unless you deal with it from the root, it's going to continue to produce sour fruit.
Yes, yes.
Jesus said, you say to the sycamine tree, be uprooted. But he didn't say just tell it to be uprooted. Why? Because if you leave it on the ground, the roots are going to find their way back into the earth. Not only that, if you leave it on the ground and it still has life in it, at the scent of water, at the scent, the smell of water, that tree will come back to life again. So he says, don't just uproot it. He says, say to the sycamine tree, be uprooted and cast into the sea. Now, you may say, wait a minute, didn't you just say if it got to the water, it would come alive again? But notice he didn't say be uprooted and cast into the pond. He didn't say be uprooted and cast into the river. Why? Because the pond is usually fresh water. The rivers, many of them are fresh water. But the sea is salt water.
Mm-hmm.
And see, salt is not only a savor, but salt is an agitator. And if that tree is planted in salt water, what the salt would do is eat the root root. So Jesus said, in order to get rid of bitterness, you've got to call it up from the root. You've got to uproot it. So you've got to take a good look at yourself. You've got to stand before that mirror and not forget what you look like when you walk away. But you've got to stand there and you've got to call that thing out of yourself. Look, I know that you've been acting weird lately. I know that you keep getting angry and upset seemingly for no reason. I know that you keep talking about people. You're backbiting. You're slandering. You're lying. You're murdering. I know that's what you've been doing. But you're going to stop that today because we are pulling down every stronghold and every high thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And I command you, bitterness, to come out and come out with every portion of the root. Come out. You have got to be the one to call it out. Because he didn't say, in this case, go to someone and they will pray for you and get rid of it. See, there are certain things that you can go to someone and they pray for and the results will be efficient and effective. But he says in reference to this fruit or this root of bitterness, he says it's got to be plucked up by the root. He says it's got to be cast into the sea. The sea made of salt water.
Yes.
Salt won't allow it to grow. But notice something else that he says about salt. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He said, but if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it but to be cast under the foot of men and trod upon? So what you have to do is after you are uprooting this thing, now, after you've gotten it uprooted, now you get with the salt. Now you get with those who are capable of praying you through. Now you get with your prayer team. You get with your prayer partner. Look, I've been dealing with this issue. I have spoken to it. I have uprooted it. But we're going to pray and make sure that I am sealed with the seal of God on my forehead. We're going to make sure that the presence and the glory of God is being manifest. We're going to make sure that I am not losing or falling short of the grace of God. Let's go on a period of consecration so that I can grow in grace and in the knowledge of God.
Hallelujah.
We've got to destroy it. And the only way to destroy it is through obedience.
Yes.
Through obedience. What does that mean? It means I have to uproot it. And I have to make sure that I am changing the way I think. This relates to one's mind. You've got to have a redeemed mind. You have to have a renewed mind. You have to have your mind illuminated by the Word of God. You've got to have the mind of Christ. Your mind has to be tested and tried in order for you to profit in the area of your mind. But you've got to get into that Word and allow that Word to saturate you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so be it. So is he. But also, the Bible says, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If your mind isn't being renewed, you're going to keep on, the enemy is going to keep on invading you and walking up and down the corridors of your mind. He's going to be hiding in closets and doors in your mind. And every time you have something that arises that will bring your mind back to that thing that happens, you begin to relive the emotions all over again. Unless you deal with it from the root, you've got to uproot uprooted. You've got to pull it up by the root. You've got to cast it into the salt sea. You've got to begin from that point to renew your mind. You've got to begin from that point to change your heart. Even if you have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, create in me again a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, and allow him to change your heart. Because unless your heart changes, the enemy is going to find access. And the Bible says it is the small foxes that destroy the vine. And so little things will come up that will remind you of it. And if you haven't dealt with it and gotten completely rid of it, those little things I have you falling back into that place, coming back into that place, and you begin to think all over again, what has happened to me? What did they do to me? Why did they do that? You'll begin to blame all over again, and you'll allow the enemy to have more than a foothold. You've got to deal with it. Bitter roots produce bitter fruit. So if you don't deal with the root, then the fruit, everything you do, is going to be a bit bitter. You ever seen folk on a job that get bitter? And all they do is murmur and complain. Everything, murmuring and complaining. Nothing goes right. Everybody's against them. Murmuring and complaining because of bitterness. Because of bitterness. And here's the thing. If you allow someone who is bitter to constantly be your circle, you will begin to respond in the same manner. That fruit, that root will grow over in your yard.
Come on now.
You know, just like in our communities, you got a finely manicured yard. You've been paying for the lawn service to come through and take care, and you have a golf course green grassy yard. But your neighbor hasn't done anything to their yard, and their yard is full of weeds. And you feel like, well, my grass is like I want it, so I don't have to pay them like I used to have them coming out all the time. And what happens is now the wind will pick up a bit of the weed and blow it over into your yard. And as that little bit of weed is now blown into your yard, what it does is it begins to find a place to root. And when it finds a place to root, after a while it begins to grow. And after a while, you find one place in your yard where there are weeds. But then what it has done is it has, the roots have gone deep under the ground, and they have moved beyond the place where it is. And now you're finding weeds coming up in different areas of your yard. Why? Because you have allowed that which is in your surrounding to be planted on the inside of you. And you have to understand the enemy, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren. He wants to get in. And so what he uses is the small foxes. The small foxes. And they come in and they begin to affect your heart. And now every day at the water cooler, child, I know just what you mean. We need to get rid of them. Yeah, we need to get rid of them too. You know, so-and-so the other day was this or that, and now you're there participating in the criticism.
Jesus.
And as a result, you begin to get bitter as well. The enemy's desire is to hold us in captivity, to keep us from experiencing the fullness of God's grace. Notice what we started off saying. The Lord said that you have fallen, or you have, fallen short of the grace. You've fallen short of this divine enablement. So that means you don't have the power
that you need. You know, we all know how it is when we have our electronic devices, and you know, right now mine's is down to about 17%. It's still black, but when it gets into the red, we start really like, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to be able to use it. When we're talking about our phones, we get a little nervous because now I can't receive a phone call. I can't make a phone call. I got to find a charge. I got to be recharged. And see, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get you into the red, but you've got to find a place to recharge. After you've uprooted that bitterness, you've got to recharge.
Yes,
because
yes,
remember,
yes.
You have fallen short of the grace. You don't have all the power you need. You don't have the anointing that you need. You need to be in a place where the glory of God is being revealed, where the word of God is being taught, where you are able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, because you're going to need that grace. And I'm telling you, we're coming to a time in our society, we're coming to a time in our world where you are going to have the grace of God. You're going to have the power of God. You're going to have the anointing of God. You're going to have to trust, depend, and rely on him. And so if you're not receiving that beforehand, you're going to be in trouble when all trouble breaks out.
Yes.
And it's happening in different places right now. It's happening in different places right now. But we have to remember, Jesus told the church of Ephesus, remember how far you have fallen. He didn't say you backslid, because they may be still coming to church. He says you've fallen. He says, where have I fallen, Father? You've fallen short of the grace. You've fallen from your first love. You've fallen from your first works. And now he's saying, come back and do those things over again. We've got to get to the place where we ourselves uproot that bitterness and cast it into the sea. Jesus said you can do it. If Jesus says you can do it, then it must mean it's what? It's possible. You have the capacity to do it. You have the capacity to do it. You may not feel like you're strong enough, but he's telling you, you have the capacity to do it. You have the right to say, get out of me.
Yeah.
You have the right to say, I evict you from this temple. I evict you from this tabernacle. You're no longer welcome here. You can uproot it and cast it into a sea, the sea. Even Jesus tells you, he says, your sins, that he has taken them and he has cast them into the sea of forgetfulness.
Yes.
And he will remember it no more.
Yes.
So if he can throw it into the sea and remember it no more, and he knows everything, he knows everything, and that's amazing to me that he can forget something because he knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
He says he has cast it into the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more.
Yes.
But let's just think about that for a moment, because we think of remembering to call back to mind.
Uh-huh.
But that's not what he's saying when he says he will remember it no more. What he's saying is in the sense that if I took this this podium here and took it all apart, all of his pieces would be there. So to remember it would be to put it back together again. So he says, I will take it from you, and I'll cast it into a sea of forgetfulness, and I will never bring it back to you for you to be held accountable for it.
Amen. Amen.
I will never bring it back to you for you to be held accountable for it. And I don't know about you, but that's some good stuff to me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So bitter root produces bitter fruit. Father, we thank you for the way you chose to speak to us through the word of God today. day. We thank you, Lord God, that we stand before the mirror of life and we examine ourselves. Even as you've spoken to us through communion, let a man examine himself. And so we're examining ourselves, Lord God, and we're looking into our hearts to make sure that we are not holding any offenses from anyone that have offended us. We're looking at our hearts, Father, and we're choosing to release all of it so that it does not produce in us the root of bitterness. Father, we choose to let them go. We choose to release them. Father, we even say forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, we even go as far as to say bless them and empower them and strengthen them, Lord God. And if they don't know you, Lord God, in the pardon of their sins, save them, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray for them that their lives will be changed, but we choose, Lord God, that that thing will not reside in our hearts. We choose, Lord God, that our hearts will be the tabernacle, the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. As you have moved on the inside of us, we refuse to allow anything other than you to reside in us. And so we thank you, Father. If we have been bitter about anything, we uproot it now.
In the name of Jesus,
we grab it from the roots and we cast it into the sea of salt water, Lord God. And we say, swivel up and die in the name of Jesus. You will not come back down, mind. You will not come back in retaliation. You will not come back to hurt us or try to rebound us. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare that we have liberty and we have freedom to worship and praise the Lord our God, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.